Well, take your Bible, turn to Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18, and we're going to read verses 1 through 6 together. Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. I'll read this, we'll pray. While I pray, the choir will get in place, and they'll sing, and then I'll come back and preach. Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel." And let's pray. Father, I need you today. Holy Spirit of God, would you please take this thought, this truth, and drive it deeply into our hearts, our minds, our lives. Please change us today. Lord, I long to help your people. I long to encourage. I long to be what they need, but I cannot. But you could work through me and be that. So please give me your words today as I preach, in Jesus' name. Amen. I was privileged to grow up in church. To you adults, I lived the life you wished your children could live. I mean that. I'm going to be 52 years old in May. I've been going to church for over 52 years because I went to church for 9 months before I was hatched. I've been in church my whole life, and my whole adult life, virtually every day of my life, I've been at church. I live here, I work here, you name it. I spend more time here than anywhere and have my whole adult life. I have, of course, I've heard probably many, many, many dozens of sermons out of Jeremiah 18. And those of you that have been in church any time at all have probably heard a sermon or two on it. And I've used it in preaching, I've used it in counseling, and many have, but one day recently I was reading, and the Lord kind of, truth is like a diamond. You know, a lady's diamond has, it's one diamond, but it has many different, what they call facets on it, little cuts on it. And as the light hits those cuts, it kind of changes how the light looks in that diamond. There's no such thing as new truth. Amen. Anybody tells you they have a new truth is an old idiot. All right? There's no such thing as new truth. You might get a new angle on it or a new facet of it, but it's not a new truth. It's just the same old book. All right? Truth is truth. But as I read this, the Lord kind of showed me a new facet to this truth today. And I want to help you. God tells Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house. Now, if you'll listen to me, I really believe I can help you today. Jeremiah obeys, and the Bible says, "Jeremiah, I want you to go down, and I want you to observe the potter, and I'm going to teach you something to teach to my people." Jeremiah goes down, and the potter is there, and you've all seen a pottery wheel, and it spins, and they throw a slop of clay on there and start spinning that thing around and forming it, and they'll turn it into a bowl, or they'll turn it into some kind of vase or something like that. It would be the equivalent of a lathe for wood or steel, except they're hand forming it versus using tools, but some tools can be used as well with a pottery wheel. And the potter begins to shape that clay. He's working it, he's shaping it, and the Bible says that He tries and he tries, and he decides that there's something in the clay that's not allowing him to do what he wants to do with that clay. And the Bible says that it was marred in the potter's hand. Now listen to me. it doesn't say that it was flawed. It says it's marred. The Bible says that he takes that clay and he folds it back together and he starts the wheel back up and he makes something different. Now, listen to me very carefully here. He doesn't throw the clay away. Matter of fact, it doesn't even say that he's upset. It just says it couldn't take the original shape he had seen. It was marred, so he made it again, the Bible says, another vessel. Now, listen to me very carefully here. The clay was marred. Mar, the word mar there, or marred, means it's too loose. It's not a thick enough consistency. In other words, the mixture of clay was too loose to do a delicate move that he wanted with the clay. It didn't mean that the clay was bad. It just could not take the original shape that he had in mind. Now listen to me. My son Joshua, he and his father-in-law, Brother Provost, they have gotten into, they call it wood turning. It's just making stuff on wood lathes. They're in a wood turners club in Florida. They go to meetings and they learn how to do all kinds of things. The scales that I have in my office, he did those on a lathe. He's done candlestick things for my wife and some other little doojiggers and you name it. He's having fun with it. And he's learning all kinds of things about turning wood. And it's become a hobby for him. And I've heard him tell me this several times. He has said, "Dad, this is what I wanted to do with this piece of wood, but the wood would not take it." And I said, "What did you mean?" He said, "Well, the grain in it wouldn't sustain what I needed to do with it, so I had to make something else with it. Either the grain was too fibrous, or it was too hard, or it was too soft, or it just was running a wrong direction to where he could not make the cuts into it that he needed to do at the time." I said, "You didn't throw the whole thing away?" He said, "No, I'll find a piece of wood that I can do that with." But sometimes you have to let the wood tell you what it can do. And as I read Jeremiah chapter 18, the potter was forming the clay, and it became marred in his hand. It wasn't that it was bad. He just couldn't do with it what he wanted, so he had to go with the clay he had. And the Bible says he just folded it up and made a new vessel, a different vessel. This is exactly what God says. Now, just because he wasn't able to make the original plan doesn't mean that he had to throw the clay away. Just because my son Josh couldn't maybe turn that one certain piece that he wanted a certain way didn't mean that he took it out and just threw it on the trash pile and burned it. No, they made something else of it. Matter of fact, it doesn't even say that the potter, listen to this, it does not say that the potter made something that was even less valuable. It just says he made another vessel. We don't know what he originally made or wanted to make. But nowhere does the scripture ever imply that this was of less value or of less use. It just could not take the original design. As Jeremiah was there, God says, "Now I want you to go back to the house of Israel and teach my people what you just heard." And I want to teach that to you today. Number one, I really believe you'll be on your way by noon today. Say why? Because I smoked 2 racks of ribs yesterday and I'm ready to go eat. Amen? No. No, I don't smoke what Ashley smokes. All right. Number one, the potter was not upset with the clay. He just needed to change the first plan.
Right.
You know, you don't find anything in the Bible to where it says that the potter got upset at the clay because he couldn't do what he wanted to do with it. Everybody look at me for a second. Isn't it funny? We want to do something because it doesn't turn out the way we want. We get mad at it. Y'all know what I'm talking about, fellas. You're working on your car, and it's always the car's fault. It's always the engineer that put it in that spot where you couldn't get to it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. You see, God did not imply that the potter was upset. You never find anything in Jeremiah chapter 18 that says the potter was all out of whack because his first plan didn't go as is. Not too long ago, I preached a sermon, and it was about learning to adapt in life. Did you know very little in life goes as you plan?
Right.
If you've ever been married, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
If you've ever had children, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
If you've ever pastored, you know what I'm talking about. If you've ever worked in a job, you know what I'm talking about. It, you know, that dream job that you got that you now hate. Mm-hmm. You see, God did not imply that the potter was upset with the clay. The Bible doesn't say that the potter was so upset that he threw the clay out and just let it harden into a piece of rock and throw it back into the ground. It says, no, he just molded it again into another vessel. Can I tell you something? God does not tell us that the potter made something of less value. He just made something else. Matter of fact, look at verse number 4 again. I love this. This is one of the sweetest passages in the Bible. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. Notice it was the hand of the potter that marred it. It was marred in his hands. Watch this. So he made it again, another vessel. He said, I'll make it again. Oh my. God one day reached down and made man from the dust of the earth. God formed man. But one day man sinned and he was marred in the hand of the potter. God reached down and gave us salvation.
Amen.
And he gave us a new vessel. Now our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit once we get saved. He doesn't throw us away. He makes us anew. We're new creatures in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Can I tell you something? God wants you to realize that everything doesn't turn out and everyone doesn't turn out the way you plan. Did you know God didn't get his original plan? If God himself couldn't get his original plan, what hope do you have?
Amen.
Folks, I detest the, I hate using names here, but the Calvinistic and the Catholic mentality that God's in charge of everything and everything turns out exactly the way God wants it. That's a lie out of hell. That is a lie. I don't believe God intended for Hmong to be in a car accident yesterday and get hurt. I don't believe God intended for many of the things that happened. You say, well, he's God. He's in charge of everything. He said there is a God of this world who is the devil. And when we sinned, we are the ones that took control away from God. And we took control upon ourselves because of our sin, and we give that control to the devil. Now we have to fight between the forces of this world and the forces of God. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
Let's understand why God allows this. Well, God allows it because you're a sinner. He gave you a free will to choose. And he gives every human a free will to choose. And because we're all sinners, we are destined to not only our choices, but others' choices. Everybody doing okay? All right, hang in there. God wants us to realize that everything and everyone doesn't turn out as we plan at first. But there's still good vessels available. Everybody listen to me very carefully here. Did you know not everything turns out right at work? But it doesn't mean it's a bad job. That boss you fell in love with when you got that job, you're now ready to choke. Can I tell you something? He didn't change. It's just part of the work. There's a reason it's called work. And it's bad because it involves sinners, of which you're one. Let's face it. And if you're not, the customers are. Folks, we're all sinners. We are nothing but sinners. Why should it shock us then that things go wrong? It may be that you need to come up with a new plan. I get it. You don't know how many new plans I've come up with along the way. Adapt and improvise. Amen? Semper Fi, here we go. Hoorah! Can I tell you something? I've had so many new plans, I don't even know which plan we're on. Somebody, when we were at college, somebody was talking to Brother Hiles, and he was talking to one of the college guys, and he said, Brother Hiles, every person that comes through here and preaches says, I have a life-changing truth for you. He said, my life's been changed so many times, I don't even know who I am. Did you ever feel that way? Life kind of hits you and you don't even know who you are or what you are if you're going to make it. You see, it may mean that you need a new plan. Just because you need a new plan does not mean that everything's falling apart. Amen. Just because you need to make another vessel doesn't mean the whole world's dying and going to hell right now because of your situation. Everybody doing okay? Just because things aren't going right for you right now doesn't mean God hates you. I'm going to go eat worms. Well, go ahead and go eat worms, but just realize God wants to make another vessel. You're so stuck on the one that won't work that you're going to ruin your life. It may mean you have to be submissive like that lump of clay and let him form you as he wants you. You may not be able to do what you want to do, but may I say this, when you do what God wants you to do and you're in the master's hand, it'll come out all right, I promise you. I promise you. Clay only has value after it's shaped by the hand of the master. Do you hear me? Clay is worthless dirt till it's shaped in the hand of the master. Then it has to be tried by fire. Then it has value in the world's eyes. You want to be valuable? You're going to have to be squishy clay. Then you're going to have to go through the fire. And you're going to have to submit to the master's hand. But may I say this? Then you become valuable. Number two, the clay was marred. The clay was not damaged. The Bible says it was marred. It doesn't mean that it had hard stone type material in it. It just couldn't hold the shape it originally was intended for. I don't know if you've ever played with Play-Doh. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And if you had any imagination at all, you built entire empires with Play-Doh, amen? Did you ever get some Play-Doh, though, that it just wouldn't go like you wanted it to go? It just wouldn't take the shape. Some of you still play with it. Anyway, those of you that have small children still do. Now, wait a minute. Sometimes it just won't take the shape you want it to take. It means it's marred. Doesn't mean you throw the whole thing away. It means you make something else. You see, the clay wasn't hard, it wasn't bad, it wasn't damaged, it was not unusable, the clay was not flawed. It just could not be what the first design was. Let me teach you something here. How many of you know the name Henry Ford? All right. Henry Ford was he did not invent the automobile. He invented the assembly line for the automobile. First automobile was actually made by Mercedes-Benz. Mr. Benz had the first car in the 1800s. But Henry Ford was trying to build a vehicle that was reproducible at a common man's salary. Most of you would not know this. Anybody remember what the first reproduced car that he made was? What was it called? It was called the Model what? Model T. Anybody know what the second model car he made was called? Model A. Did you ever wonder why T came before A? Because the first car, his first model was A, and then B, and then C, and then D, then E, then F, then G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S. By the time he got to T, he got it right. So he called it the Model T. When it came time to make a new model of vehicle, which he did not want to do, he was forced into it. By the way, the Dodge brothers are the ones that invested in the Ford Motor Company the first time. And after about 10 years, found out, he's got the market on this thing. And they got their money back, and they started the Dodge Corporation. When he designed his second vehicle, he got it the way he wanted it on the first try, and it was called the Model A. But the first one didn't come out till Model T. In other words, he tried, and he tried, and he tried, and he tried, and he tried. He didn't give up. Can I tell you something? Just because your plan doesn't come out right the first time doesn't mean everything's got to go to the boogeyman. Amen. You ought to have one more try than you have failure. You see, God wants us to see that all lives can be salvaged and used for Him. I don't believe that somebody has to live the way I have lived my life to serve God. I'll say it this way, and if you come back tonight, you'll hear this. You can serve God longer if you live the way I live. I enlisted earlier. But that doesn't mean I'm a better person. Brother Mike, dear friend, Brother Mike will tell you, 27 years old, set a can of beer down on the corner of the kitchen table and half drunk, got saved. Lived a wild life. Drugs, alcohol, you name it, he probably did it. Don't name it out loud, please. All right? But wait a minute. God saved him. God's used him. Brother Mike's brought tens of thousands of people to church on church buses, seeing a lot of people get saved, instrumental in reaching a lot of young men, teaching a lot of young men, and teaching a lot of men, and teaching Sunday school in our church, and driving a bus. I'd say God's used a man like Brother Mike Schenenberger. But can I tell you something? First design didn't work real well. I can't picture him with long hair. He's got four long hairs now. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Now, wait a minute. What are you laughing at? Wait a minute. God wants to use everybody. God wants to use a Mike Schenenberger that got saved at 27. But there sits Larry and Sherry. Praise the Lord. Brother Larry, how old were you when you got saved? 65 years old. I'm not asking your wife. Mm-mm. They got saved on the same day, but she's 30 years younger. Don't worry. Did I do good on that one? Okay. Whew. Here's a man that didn't get saved until he was 65 years old. But thank God for Brother Larry and Miss Sherry. Whew. Drive by that property and see that big old beautiful sign out there that man spent hundreds of hours. Wouldn't charge the church. He said, I love my church. I want to do this for God. And boy, did he do a good job for God. I got preachers all over the country that want him to come build a sign at their church, and I won't give them his name or number. And when Brother Few gets there, don't show up, please. All right? He's one of them. I'm not kidding. He said, can I get that man's number? I said, no. He said, you're being selfish. I said, yes, sir. Wait a minute. But you have to get saved to be usable in the master's hand. Otherwise, you're just a piece of dirt. The devil wants to use you just to grind you into powder. You see, you say, well, preacher, I've been saved and been out of church and been out of fellowship with God. I've lived wrong after I got saved. Bless God, we all have. God doesn't care. He can turn you into another vessel. This church is a hospital. Say, what is that? We ought to, our second subtitle is going to be, we're the pottery house. Pottery, not potty. All right? No blue or green huts. You know, no matter what you've done, let God remake you. I don't care how long you've been away from God, He's waiting for you to come back. He's waiting to reform your life. He wants to take that old lump of clay and reshape it. So, well, it's not what it intended to be. Okay, but He can make it pretty good. Brother Mike, bet you at 26 years old you never thought you'd get up at 5 o'clock or 4:30 on a Sunday morning and get your Sunday school lesson ready and get an old rickety bus warmed up, drive and pick up a bunch of snotty-nosed kids and a bunch of young people that are wild and crazy people like Alejandro over here and moms and dads. But I wonder how many people are going to run up to that man in heaven someday. Put their arms around his neck and say, thanks for picking me up. I'm here because you drove a bus. Bet you at 26 years old you never thought about that. Bet you when you had that alcohol in your hands you never thought about that. Or the drugs shooting through your veins. But God said, I can reach down. I can reform him. And I can turn him into a vessel that's worth using. Brother Larry, Miss Sherry, remember the day you kind of came into the old building over there? And I said, not real fancy, just an old warehouse. Just plain meat and taters. And he said, good, I like meat and taters. I remember them sitting back about three-fourths of the way back on the right-hand side, just off the center aisle. I don't remember what I preached that day, but I remember preaching about Jesus. Remember at the invitation, both our hands went up needing to get saved. I remember one of our men, Brother Larry, started walking the aisle. One of our men reached him, won him to Christ at the altar, sent one of our ladies back to talk to Miss Sherry. She came down the aisle, got saved too. And the next week, they both got baptized.
Yes.
And we've seen a lot of folks get saved. Sherry, your brother, he's in heaven. I remember. She said, he's lost. But he needs the Lord. She said, but preacher, I'm not sure what he's going to say to you. I remember the day I stopped before I went down to see him. My son Josh was with me. He was here on vacation before he went to Florida to work. And you said, are you sure you want to go down there? He might cuss at you. I said, I've been cussed out before. Don't worry. I've heard Miss Kathy before. I mean, my son and I went down there and I knocked on his door. Came to the door with his walker. Old Vietnam vet. Broken. Not in good shape. Dying of cancer. I began to talk to him for a little bit. I opened up my Bible and showed him the gospel. I won him to Christ. I was walking back to my truck. My son Josh, dead. You all know Josh. He said, I got to show you this. I said, son, what are you doing playing on your phone while I'm so... He said, no, Dad, I got to show you this. I said, were you on your phone while I was so... He said, Dad, just look at the stupid picture. I looked, and your brother had his head bowed. I had my head bowed. It was the moment your brother was getting saved, my son took a picture. Little did we know, 6 weeks later, he'd die and go to heaven. I was able to use that picture at this memorial service. Proof that he got saved. Man, a bunch of people got saved. You know, someday you're going to get to heaven and your brother's going to walk up and thank you. Larry, your brother-in-law, is going to put his arms around you and say, Larry, thanks. Whew. You say, what is that? God just wants to reshape. I wonder how many people will come to our church because a man took time to do something right and build a beautiful church sign like we have. I don't care, Berkeley or Jefferson County, everybody knows where our church is at. They saw that sign. Everywhere we see the sign. I hear that more than the building. We saw the sign. They don't care about the building. They saw the sign. I remember sitting down in your living room sketching it out with you, Brother Larry. God took a lump of clay and molded it. Didn't quite turn out the way he wanted the first time, but he folded it back together and remade it. And look what he's doing. Awful good stuff. You see, we're all clay. We're all dirt. We're not supposed to compare our dirt with somebody else's dirt.
Amen.
I was out at the work site this week, Brother Mike, and the guy that was in charge of all the concrete. Big old guy. Tough man. Don't mess with him. I walked up and reached out. He said, oh, Pastor, I got dirty hands. I said, I don't care. He said, but Pastor, you're in a suit. I said, I don't care. I said, I'm made out of dirt. He said, come on now. I said, put it there. And boy, put that big old paw around my hand and kind of swallowed it up, you know. I squeezed back and I said, I just want you to know I appreciate you. He said, oh, no. He said, this has been one of our favorite jobs. He said, we don't get to do much of that. He said, I know this place is going to do something good. I said, well, you need to come. He said, your hand's dirty, Pastor. I said, Doc, I'm just dirt. I said, I'm made out of the same dirt as you are. I said, I stand before my people and tell them, let's quit comparing one dirt with another. You don't have clean dirt and I don't have dirty dirt. Dirt's just dirt. He said, come on now. Now, Neil's is a little darker dirt than my dirt, but it doesn't mean it's any cleaner or any dirtier. That's it. Amen. He got topsoil and I got down a little farther. That's about the only difference. Can I tell you something? We're all marred by sin.
Yes.
Number three. I'm about to shout. It's the touch of the master potter that makes everybody useful. Folks, you think you're hot snot because you're clay? Ain't nothing but dirt. It's not you, it's not the clay that makes the object. It's the hand of the master.
That's good.
Did you hear that? It was the hand of the master, it was not the clay. All clay is the same to us, but it's not the same to God. I'll be honest with you. I worked on this sermon in a couple segments this week because I just about couldn't take it. See, clay is just dirt till the master puts his hands to it. Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7, that God made man out of the dust or the clay of the earth. God reached down into the dirt and formed us out of the clay, out of the dust of the earth. Can I tell you something? Just looks like dirt to you and me, but God said, I see man in that. I can make something from that. Somebody did a study recently. The human body, the value of the human body after it's dead, is about $3 in dirt. You're worth about $3 dead. For some of you, that's about $2.50 more. Can I tell you something? Good thing I did ribs yesterday. I get to eat. Can I tell you something? Why is it we put such a high premium on dirt? We're nothing. We're nothing. We want to compare about how pretty our dirt is, how skinny our dirt is, how fat our dirt is, how smart our dirt is, how talented our dirt is. But can I tell you something? Dirt is dirt. It's not the dirt that makes it valuable. It's the touch of the master. Bible says in John chapter 9, oh my soul, I got to read this to you. John chapter 9, verse number 6. Don't take time to turn there. The Bible says that when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way thereof and washed and came seeing. Blind man came by Jesus one day, and he said, would you heal me? And the Bible says that Jesus spit on the ground and made clay. And he made that clay, and he wiped it on the eyes of the blind man. He didn't put ash on his forehead. He put clay on his eyes and said, now go down and wash in the pool. And the Bible says that he went down to the pool of Siloam, and he washed his eyes, and when they were washed, he could see. So all you saw was clay. He saw medicine. You didn't know, mamas, that it was scriptural when daddy said, you got a cut, just rub dirt on it. Amen, Brother Mike? It's all you're made out of. Just put dirt in it. It'll be okay. The kids are down in junior church, so I said that, all right? For those of you in radio land, Jesus healed blind eyes with clay. God made man's body out of clay. It's not the clay, it's the touch of the master. Oh my. Romans chapter 9, the Bible says this, verse 21. Hath not the potter power over the clay, and of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor, and another unto dishonor? Notice he said it's the same lump. Not the same bump, the same lump. In other words, he can make a vessel for honor out of one piece and a vessel of dishonor out of the other, but both are usable pieces. It's not the value of the clay, it's what the potter makes with it. You might want to be a valuable vase, and yet you might just be an old water pot. But either way, you can still comfort somebody. Can still bring refreshment to someone. See, he likes to make vessels of honor. But you know what, Brother Larry? Vessels of dishonor are needed too. They might not be display models, but I found out usually display models have flaws too. You may be marred by yourself. You may have marred your own clay, but God can use you and make you into something worthwhile. Maybe somebody else has marred your clay. There's something in your past and someone did not behave appropriately, but may I tell you, in the master's hands, you're okay. Yes, sir. I don't care what your past. Doesn't matter whether you've marred the clay or someone else has marred the clay. It's what the master does with it. I've got to hurry. Doesn't matter how you've been marred. Doesn't matter whose fault that you're marred. Just yield in the hands of the master. Being used requires a few things, though. Let me list them quickly. Number one, you have to yield to the potter. That's not fun. You want to be something you're not. Can I tell you something? If you don't care what you are, let the master do something. He'll do something better than you could imagine. After he makes you, listen to this, you have to go through the fire. Did you know clay by itself, even though you make something until it's heated intensely, is not of any value? It has to go through the heat, the fire, the opposition. Has to be fired up so that it becomes dry and hard. Can I tell you something? That's not a fun process. But he didn't make you just for you to sit there and be worthless. He made you to make you usable.
Yes.
So to be usable, you have to go through the fire. Don't let the fire cause you to get bitter. Allow the fire to cause it to make you valuable. I've had a lot of people through the years say a lot of things in a lot of different ways in a lot of different places. Just this week, my wife and I got to do something for someone who years ago turned on us. Got to do a kind gesture. Very quietly, behind the scenes. Say, did you hear anything from it? Don't plan to. I didn't do it to hear anything back. I did it because somebody that I still care for, even though they had a bad turn in their life, had a tough time. I don't expect to hear anything back. If I do, that's an added blessing. But I decided I wasn't going to let, because they turned, doesn't mean it has to be a bad spot on my life. Everybody doing okay? Listen to this and I'm done. Sat in my office and I wept. Job chapter 2, verse number 8. You don't need to turn there. Job has lost his wealth. Job has lost his 10 children. He's lost 5 businesses. He's lost the loyalty of his wife. And now he sits in the city dump in the ashes, burning ashes, covered in boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. He's lost respect. He was the wealthiest man of his day. And there he sits in the trash heap. Brother Mike, the Bible says that he reached down and grabbed an old hot potsherd, started scraping the boils, mashing out the pus. Did you get it? Do you know what a potsherd is? It's a broken piece of clay. It's a broken piece of pottery. You may be shattered in pieces, thrown out by the world, but there's somebody that can use you. God wants to use you to bring comfort to the man or to the person that's suffering right now. Well, I'm broken, preacher. I'm in pieces. But somebody's suffering, and Job reached down and took a piece of pot, started scraping the boil to find relief. Say, well, I'm not real usable clay anymore. I'd rather be a broken piece of pottery scraping out the boil than just sitting there doing nothing. How about you? Just so you know, Grace Baptist Church is about picking up all the broken pots. God knows we picked up about 200,000 of them on our property. This church is not about us showing off how good our clay is. How about we be good yielders to the potter's hand? How about we just let the master mold us into what he wants us to be? Let's not prefabricate it. Let's not predetermine what we're going to be. Let's not decide we want this position or I want that position, or I want to do this. How about we just say, God, I'll do what you want me to do. Let's quit position seeking and let's let the master do it. Who would have ever thought Joe Lopez would be downstairs preaching junior church right now? Maybe the best junior church worker I've ever seen in my life. You don't know the Joe Lopez I know. But he's a lump of clay that was willing to be used by the master's hand. He's changing boys and girls all over this area. Thank God for it. We're just all made out of the same clay. We're all marred, but you don't have to be flawed. Marred in the potter's hand, but it doesn't mean it's flawed. It can still be used to make another vessel. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I don't know your need today, but God does. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I personally needed today, that was for me. Would you raise your hand, oh my soul? Hands everywhere. You can put them down. Who'd say, preacher? And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But I wonder if you'd be willing to kneel at an old altar, or kneel at your chair there, and let God decide what he molds your life into. That's all I'm asking. Let him decide.